The lights said motel, and there wasn't a bulb missing. Not that it would have mattered if it said hotel or motet. Not in all that rain. Not after all they had been through. The earthquake, the road, each other. They had avoided crossing the bay altogether. The bay bridge had collapsed, but they didn't know that for sure then. They drove south, down into the righteous belly, the holy thighs. St. Mateo, St. Jose, St. Louis, St. Maria, St. Barbara, St. Clarita. All the good men and women giving their names to those sad cities. They stopped in the City of Angels. They took the 10 through San Bernardino. Drove through Cathedral City just for the name. Stopped outside Phoenix, where he dipped a wrench into the engine and made the car purr. A day later in Las Cruces. The crosses. There, they held each other in the car while soul to soul streamed in through the car's CD player. They stayed on the 10. 10 became a holy number. They drove across Texas almost without stopping. But then they stopped in St. Antonio. Drove that city until they found the black people. Slept on a grocer's floor. Bags of rice, their pillows. Then they started back north. "We got to avoid Louisiana," Gary said to her, "and Mississippi." It had been a mission until Texas, a sacred thing, a quest. After San Antonio, the road was all Eloise dreamed, the long road unstopping. They were driving into hell, it felt like. It was getting closer to winter, and yet they were getting hotter. They abandoned the 10, took I-35 to meet St. Marcos, avoided Dallas, followed an off-road just to sight some water called Palestine, then up and up into Arkansas. The sign to a city read, "Hope." Eloise held on to that image. The next stop was supposed to be Charlotte. Then they would decide, north to New York or south to Miami. Either way, a boat ride to paradise. But then the rain. 2. Back on that first night in Los Angeles, they had stayed on the couch of a dark-skinned pastor. A Baptist, Eloise supposed, though it was never said. "An orphan like me," Gary told her, "but found his way through God, missioned on me when the voices got nasty." The two of them slept on the pastor's couch together, like children, brother and sister. Only they weren't brother and sister. Could never pass for that. And they weren't children. Why people opened their doors to them, perfect strangers, was strange to Eloise. Perhaps they could see her special gift. Perhaps it was as Gary said, that black people wanted to watch out for them. A white woman and a black man in love. But she didn't love him. Not then. "We can stay here," she'd whispered that night. His body was clothed, but still, she could feel the all of him. "I don't mind waiting here until the dust clears. A week or two. I can work, even. I can type, you know." Her father had bought her the instruction manuals and the word processor. "And then we can find my parents. Get back to the church." She'd looked at his eyes, sealed taut in the darkness. Was he hearing the voices now? He did that, forced the light from his eyes when the voices became too bright. "Ellie," Gary said, his lids softening and then opening, now looking right at her and so close. "The dust is never going to clear. Isn't that what you said? We stay in the ark until the dove flies away." It was true. She herself had indeed said that. That night, among the angels, he covered his ears with the palms of his hands and whispered to himself. She was pressed against his body and heard every word.